Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mishulu, and I'll be your guide to the macabre and mysterious. The desire of a teenager to strike out on their own is great, especially under the Hunter's Moon. But before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. 3 days until the Hunter's Moon. The trees had turned many shades of orange and red, which created a beautiful firelight canopy in the woods near the small town of Rolic, Maine. The town was celebrating its 200th anniversary with a festival during a long weekend to end tourist season. The population had swelled to 4 times Rolic's actual population of 200 people. All the inns were booked, and tourists took part in wine and apple cider tastings as well as nature walks in the forest. The town had an old-fashioned 1970s vibe to it. The only internet was in the hotels, and it was spotty at best. There were old rotary phones, and even the cars the locals drove all seemed to be from the 70s and early 80s. The town was stuck in time, and that's how the locals liked it. There was even a ban on cell phones for their young ones. To an outsider, this seemed to be some sort of religious decision. Many chalked it up to the locals being part of a Christian denomination that shunned such things. They didn't mind, as many of them were older, and it took them back to a time and place they missed. The kids they drug with them to Rolic did not feel the same, though. It was a history museum tour that lasted days. Talia worked at her dad's movie theater. It only played old 35mm prints of films from his vast collection. He had bought the theater when old Yurik died. It was empty most of the year, and Talia's father only charged $2 a ticket, so no real profit was made. He would always say, "I paid $2 to see a movie when I was younger. Why should we raise prices beyond that?" Inflation, Talia thought. She was bored and wanted out of this small town. It felt like it was slowly draining her life away. She sat in the tiny ticket booth, warmed by a space heater, reading Stephen King's Salem's Lot. The paper cover had long fallen off, and the pages had turned a deep yellow. But it was her favorite book to read at work, to pass the time. Talia was tall, at 5'11". She was always told she had her mother's eyes, a deep blue. She had never met her mother, and there were only a few pictures, so Talia would spend many hours staring at her face, trying to see her mother. Her skin was light brown, and her hair was a mass of dark curls. These features she got from her dad, who would say that she was a perfect mix of the two of them. She knew her dad missed her mom, but he didn't like talking about her much. Talia always figured it was too painful. "Hello, I'd like one ticket, please," a voice came through the circular metal grate in the glass. Talia looked up, and her heart jumped into her throat. The boy in front of her was very attractive, with a wide smile, dark brown skin, a shaved head, and large, beautiful brown eyes. She played it cool. "That will be $2, she said, looking back at her book as if he wasn't the hottest guy she had ever seen. "Here you go." He slid the money under the opening at the bottom of the glass. "Have you seen this movie?" "The Godfather?" "Yes, like 1,000 times. "It's one of my dad's favorites," she said, still looking at her book. "You want to watch it with me?" "I'm sorry, I'm working." Yes, she did want to watch it with him, but there was the rule. No interacting with outsiders beyond your basic job. She replied, "Besides, I don't even know your name, and you asked me to watch a movie? Seems kind of forward." "You're right. My name is John. What's yours?" "Talia, it's nice to meet you." She finally looked up. "But I have to work," she said again. John looked around. "Why? There's like no one here. See the guy staring at you like a mad dog behind the concession stand? That's my dad, and he's why I have to work." "Okay. When is work done?" he asked briefly, glancing at Talia's father. He was huge and wide with light brown skin and was covered in dark hair. It was like looking at a brown bear on its back legs. He acted as if he was unimpressed. "Around 6, when your movie is done." "Perfect. Then we can go to get some food." "Can't," she simply pointed back at her dad. "Okay, but if you change your mind, I'll be at the diner." He smiled, and she couldn't help smiling back. He made his way past the booth and to the concession stand. "Hi, can I get a small popcorn and a small soda? Also, I'd like to take your daughter out." Talia's father looked at him for a moment and then got his order together. That's $4. And can I take out Talia? He asked again, looking up into the face of a real mountain of a man. No. Enjoy your movie, he replied flatly. After John left the concession stand, Talia's dad lumbered over to the ticket booth and opened the back door to talk to his daughter. Before you ask, no. Dad, why not? I'm 17. I should be able to go out with a boy if I want. Not that boy. His eyes are hungry. Gross. And you're one to talk? You look like you want to eat everyone. Not like that kid does. Double gross. You know the rules. We don't fraternize with tourists. It's like playing with your food. You have no idea if John will be picked for the hunt. Besides, Mom was an outsider. The town didn't eat her, she whined. He ignored her logical assertion. John, you already know his name? The answer is still no. He's an outsider, and we don't get attached to outsiders. And for the record, your mother converted, and she was the last one who was accepted into the community. Fine. She turned from him and pretended to read her book. John walked out of The Godfather. He had enjoyed it, but wasn't sure why it was considered a classic. As he left, he walked to the ticket booth. Talia's father was nowhere to be seen. Where's your dad? Still up in the projector room. Meet me tonight at 11 in the back of the diner? Okay, Talia smiled widely. See you later, John said, and then walked off right before Talia's dad came out. Later that night, Talia was waiting behind the diner. It was still open to cater to the truckers that passed through at night. Many of them would say that one day they would retire in Rolik. She could never understand why. John came around the corner. Hey, Talia. Hey. And that was it for a full 2 minutes. They just stared at each other as if waiting for the other to make a move. John finally stepped in closer. You know, you're very pretty, he said in a low voice. I know. They both laughed. He took her hand and got close. You're also very humble. Yes, very humble. Talia moved in closer, and John leaned in for a kiss. It was as magical as Talia had hoped. The energy of young love lit them up. Want to go for a walk? He inquired. Yeah, but we should stay off the main street. Why? So we're not seen? Okay, you're freaking me out a bit. Will your dad be looking for us? No, he's out like a light. I crushed up some sleeping pills and put it in his food. You did what? But before he could say anything, Talia kissed him again. Don't worry, he's fine, she assured him. But John was worried. Had he made a mistake? Soon they were walking and talking about everything. The night sky was clear, allowing the moon and stars to illuminate the forest with an eerie glow. Cold wind bit at them, but neither seemed to mind. Before John knew it, they had walked off the road into the forest. Where are we going? He asked, looking at the surrounding trees. My spot. It's just up ahead. Tell me more about New York. It sounds amazing. You've never been? I'm surprised. Maine's not that far. No one leaves Rolik, Talia said with a hint of annoyance in her voice. What do you mean? We are not allowed to leave. Our elders set that rule a long time ago. Are you not allowed cell phones either? Nope. Everything we have is old and worn out. The elders don't trust the internet, so it's only allowed in the hotels for tourist season. They turn it off the rest of the year. That's inhuman. I mean, the internet is horrible, but it's also awesome. Are you in some kind of cult? Talia paused for a moment. No, but I can see why an outsider would think that. Outsider. Yeah, you and the other tourists, that's what we call you. I'm not supposed to interact with any of you beyond being nice and doing my job. Here's my spot. They had arrived at a clearing with a tiny hill in the middle. There were three old couches around a small fire pit. Is that why your dad seemed so intense when I was talking to you? Well, that and you're a boy. He's not fond of your kind, she said with a sly smile. John laughed. What happens if you do leave? I mean, they can't kill you. She stared off into the forest for a moment. Right? It's complicated. When you outgrow a place like this, you feel like you're chained to a tree. But it's home, so it also feels safe. Let's just enjoy our short time together. She kissed him before John could ask another question. 2 days until the hunter's moon. They had lost track of time, but the cold wind had been a good chaperone. Without warning, the wind died down and the forest went silent. Talia pulled away. What? Shh, she replied. There was a new inhuman howl that shook the trees. What the hell was that? He whispered. Shut up and run. Talia took John's hand and they darted into the woods away from the sound. Talia could hear them pursuing. If they stopped, they'd kill John. She had to get back to the town. John looked behind for a moment and could see three large figures chasing them. His heart was pounding so fast he thought he might have a heart attack. He couldn't make out any more than their movements. Then the moon lit up one of their eyes. It was yellow and feral. John ran faster. Suddenly, he found himself tumbling down an embankment. He struck his head on a rock. Everything went black. Talia looked up. She was surrounded by three elders. One of them was her father. I told you to stay away from this boy. Now he and his family will be the prey, he said in a stern voice. The others stared at her with disgust. Daddy, please don't do this. It's not his fault. He doesn't know anything. Please, Daddy, let him go. No, we have rules for a reason. You have too much of your mother in you for your own good. What does that even mean? She broke our laws as well. She knew that once you marry into our community, it's for life. There is no leaving. You let them kill Mom? She screamed. He bent down, his huge werewolf frame blocking out the moonlight, and picked her up by the throat. Talia's feet dangled in the air. She gasped for breath as he stared into her tear-filled eyes. You don't think I pleaded for her when she was caught? It was the worst day of my life, but I had to protect our people, just like I'm protecting you right now. If you break our rules ever again, I will put you down myself. He threw her to the ground hard, knocking the wind out of her lungs. She gasped and coughed violently, tears streaming down her face. The elders picked up John and carried him off. Talia's dad stayed, waiting for them to leave. Finally, he turned to speak. I know it's hard to understand, but humans hate us. If they learn we're here, they will wipe us out in a day. That is why no one is above the rules, even you. Mom was human. She loved you. If she really loved me or you, she would not have put our people in danger. He turned away from her. I expect you to be home shortly. Then he walked away, leaving her there to sob. The night of the hunter's moon. Most of the tourists had gone that morning. The festival and closing ceremony ended around 4, right before dusk. Talia sat in her room looking out the window. Her father opened the door. It's time. I'm not going to watch you hunt and kill my boyfriend, she said, not looking at him. Boyfriend? You barely know this kid. She just scowled at him. Fine, but you are the reason this is happening. I warned you. She looked back out the window. Go away. One day you'll understand. The door shut. Talia sat for a moment in her despair, thinking there was nothing that could be done. There must be a way to save him, but how, she thought. Then it came to her. She would use her father's execution kit. Her dad was the youngest of the elders at 476 years old. Becoming an elder meant taking the oath of the moon and gaining immortality. The newest elder must take the position of executioner until a new elder is created. It was her dad's job to kill any community member found guilty of high treason. She ran up to his room where the safe was. Her dad thought he had hidden it well. He hadn't. She put in the release date of The Godfather, his favorite movie. 3/24/72. The door popped open. Predictable, she thought. Pulling out the ceremonial box, she placed it on the bed and carefully opened it. Inside was a silver knife with a 9-inch long ceremonial blade. She lifted it out of the box and held it up in the light. Its sheath was encrusted with jewels, and it looked ancient. She rested it upon the bed as if the elders were watching her every move. Turning back to the box, she removed the first shelf to reveal her real goal, the 9mm pistol and silver bullets. She checked the gun. It wasn't loaded, but there were 4 magazines ready to go. She slammed the magazine in and racked the gun, putting a round in the chamber. Taking a deep breath, Talia pocketed the other magazines, grabbed the silver knife, and ran out into the night. John was terrified. He could hear his parents begging for his life just a few feet away. He didn't remember how he got there, but he could feel the wound on his head pulsating. All he did remember was running through the woods while three huge wolves chased him and Talia. He remembered falling. That was it. I hope Talia's okay, he thought. Right then, they removed his hood, and for the first time, he could take in the horrific scene around him. He and his parents had been tied to a wooden pole like witches about to be burned. They were on a wood stage in the middle of a forest clearing, surrounded by townspeople holding torches. It was like a scene straight out of an old horror movie. The person who had removed the hood from John's head came around to his front, and John started uncontrollably screaming. Looming over him was a 7-foot-tall werewolf. It had black fur and yellow eyes with fangs hanging down past its lower gums. Snarling, it said, "You should have stayed away from my daughter." John suddenly understood why Talia was so weird talking about the town. Two more of these creatures climbed onto the stage, and all three started to howl until the crowd all joined in, making a deafening choir of lycanthropy. John got a hold of himself, and when they all stopped howling, only the whistling of the wind through the trees could be heard. John and his parents looked at each other, and John knew there was nothing they could do. Talia's father addressed the crowd in a low voice, harsh with canine tones. "Pack, we are gathered here tonight to celebrate Mother Luna and the Hunter's Moon. We do this by hunting our prey, these three humans. They will be given 20 minutes to run. If they evade our capture for an hour after that, they are free to go. But if they are caught, their warm flesh will be our sacrifice." The crowd howled again. John's parents started to sob. They were older and not in the greatest shape. They knew they could not outrun such creatures. Their only hope was to hide. John's father looked to his wife. "You must run in the opposite direction and find a hiding spot. I'll try and get them to follow me." She shook her head in understanding, too afraid to argue. He turned to John. "John, you're the fastest. Run south as fast as you can. Get help." "I'm not leaving you two." "Son, we will slow you down. You must make it." His tone was that of a father who wanted his son to survive, not of a man hoping to be saved himself. "Dad, no. Do it, boy. Don't look back." Talia's dad continued as the crowd died back down. "Dear Mother Luna, bless this night as we hunt our prey in your name. We honor their sacrifice with quick deaths. Release the prey and let the countdown begin." All three humans on stage were cut free, and at that very moment, the first shot rang out, ringing one of the elders in the chest. He howled with incredible pain as the silver bullet dropped him to the wood stage. Chaos erupted. The other werewolves realized that someone was firing silver bullets. In their panic, they started to run in all directions. Talia's father yelled at them all, "It's my daughter! Find her! Bring her to me! Kill her if you must!" Some followed the order, running into the forest to hunt Talia, while others ran blind, too scared to face a true death. Talia's father turned to find that John and his parents were gone. More shots rang out, and more werewolves were felled. "I will deal with my daughter first. I should never have taught her how to shoot." Talia kept moving. She did not cover her tracks or scent, wanting the others to follow her and not John. She knew he was running scared with his parents, so at least he was still alive. There were at least 50 werewolves on her trail, including her father and the 4 other remaining elders. Their calling howls boiled her blood, making her want to change. But being only half werewolf herself, she could resist the call. One by one, she started picking them off. She was taught by her father how to hunt and shoot, and she used those skills with glee. Bang, another one fell with a yelp. When she ran out of bullets, she pulled out the knife and went to work. The silver blade slashed and drank deep of werewolf blood. She had filled the air with the smell of death. Executing so many werewolves had given her bloodlust. Her control over her wolf form began to slip. Hair sprouted all over her body while her mouth and nose elongated into a snout. She did her best to maintain control, but the frenzy of the Hunter's Moon had taken her. She knew that she would only get one chance to kill an elder. Elder Yolis ran by the old oak that was hollowed out. Talia had hidden within it. With 2 large bounds, she landed on top of Yolis, sinking the silver knife into the back of her skull, severing her spine. Yolis didn't even get a chance to yelp. Talia dipped her fingers into the blood and licked it. The sensation of power coursed through the young werewolf. Drinking the blood of an elder was forbidden, something a teenager could not resist. She ripped free a pound of flesh and quickly wolfed it down. Her vision changed. The world around came alive with colors she had never dreamed before. She could sense where everyone was. Her dad, the other elders, John and his parents. Is this what it's like to be an elder, she thought. She took out the other elders with ease, taking a pound of flesh from each. The woods no longer shook with howls. The forest bed had become a lupine graveyard. She had only suffered a few scrapes and bite marks. Most of the blood dripping from her fur was not her own. It was time to deal with her dad. She raised her nose to the air, thinking he would be nearby, but he wasn't. He was tracking John and his parents almost 2 miles away. With the dagger in her teeth, she went on all fours and ran as fast as she could. Trees flew by as she reached 50 miles per hour, her keen sense telling her when to move from side to side. Her heart pumped with rage and fear. She could smell that her father was close and that he had cornered John. Then the screams came. Within moments, she was in the middle of them. John yelled, but it was too late. Talia's father swung hard and knocked her straight into a tree. She fell to the ground, gasping for air. The three humans cowered behind her dad as he looked down at his daughter. The silver blade lay a few feet away. She started to get up, but he ran forward, kicking her in the chest and sending her back to the ground. Traitor! You have killed your own kind for the sake of these humans. You have forsaken your own blood for that of a boy you barely know, he snarled. Talia coughed up blood and pieces of elders. This isn't just for him. It's for my mom, and it's for my freedom. You are such a disappointment. You are your mother's daughter. He kicked her again in the gut. I can smell the elder blood on you, but stolen power will not win the night. He went to kick her again, but this time she moved quickly and grabbed his foot. She swiftly stood up, throwing him off balance and sending him to the ground. Talia used all her heightened strength to break her dad's leg. He howled in pain. He tried to grab her, but Talia was too fast and she broke both his arms. He would heal in mere seconds, so she grabbed the knife and put her knee on his chest so he couldn't move. You're right. I am my mother's daughter, she whispered, and then slit his throat. She watched as the light faded from his eyes. Plunging her claws into his chest, she pulled out and ate his heart. She did not know it at the time, but this act made her an elder. Talia quickly took John and his parents to a safe place, a small cave nearby, and started a fire. All three were in shock, shivering while staring at the flames. Talia left and came back with clothing, food, and water. The four slept the rest of the night. In the morning, Talia woke to the sound of John walking around the cave. Where are your parents? They're getting help. There's a gas station a few miles up the road. They can't tell anyone about the werewolves. They know, but you'll have to fill in the blanks when they get back with the car. What do you mean? She replied, confused. You want it out of here, right? After all that, you and your parents want me to leave with you? You saved us. You're leaving with us, if you want. She stood up and hugged him. She was going to be free. Thank you, John. Wow, nothing more romantic than killing half a town for the one you love. Could you accept a werewolf partner? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you like this Port and Sophia tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.